Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
All right, everybody, final hour together here of, I guess, our first burst through April news. And we're sort of checking on things from the week gone by, stuff as the weekend lies ahead. Some basketball to watch. I'll be doing that. Some baseball to watch. Can we like knock the Astros out of the playoffs with a sweep? Like, can we do that already? Because the Astros did a little struggling coming out of the gate, but they're sort of finding their feet. And the Rangers did okay against the Cubs and their openings. And so it's just exciting. I heard Rangers Astros the top rivalry in Major League Baseball now that we've won a World Series and the Astros are still the Astros? I mean, you got Yankees, Red Sox. The Red Sox aren't any good. Dodgers, Giants. Giants aren't good enough. It may be. It may well be. Well, so while we argue those things, let's gather around something that can unify us all. It's Friday.
Wow! I feel good. I feel good. Ow! I feel good.
You want me to say I feel good?
I feel good. I would not. So good. So good. I got a year. Wow.
Gotta do it. On Alan Clark's birthday, out front of the Hollies.
Little long, cool woman in a black dress. One of the most unintelligible records in rock and roll history. Alan Clark is a Brit. He pronounces things well. So how do you get this? Okay, so far so good. Working for the FBI, all right. What? Okay. Sitting in a nest of bad men, whiskey bottles piling high. Bootlegging boozer on the west side, full of people who are doing wrong. What? Just about to call up the DA man when I heard this woman sing a song. What? What? A pair of 45s made me open my eyes. Ha ha. All right. What? Just 5'9", beautiful, tall. Just one look, I was a bad mess. Long, cool woman had it all. All right, so, and it just gets worse from there. the song is so good. Didn't we all drive around in the 70s going, so I make a bogey, bad, bad, yeah, but don't but you, but you, but I saw her heading to the table like a tall, walking, big, black cat. When Charlie said, I hope that you're able, boy, because I'm telling you, she knows where it's at. Then suddenly we heard, there's that line that says, so don't ever hold a hole. It's like, what? Suddenly we heard the sirens and everybody started to run, jumping out the doors and tables when I heard somebody shooting a gun. Whew. Alan, what are you doing? Well, I tell you what, making people sing along falsely for decades and decades. The great Alan Clark of the Hollies is 82. You know what? He appears in a pretty popular song by another huge act, because the Hollies were 60s and 70s, by a really big act in the 70s. Let me throw him some love in the very next commercial break coming out. Let's do where Alan Clark appears in a song you probably heard and that you didn't even necessarily know that it was him. There you go. I live to serve. 866-660-5759. Gosh, what did I say I was going to do first? I remember listening to Nikki in the newsroom. You ever hear something in a newscast and she's like halfway through something? And it's like, wait a minute. Whoa, what was that? Well, that just happened to me. Because I was, excuse me, doing some things to prepare for, you know, this hour. And I heard Nikki talk about this thing about wearing red and or green to experience some optical effect during the eclipse on your official eclipse talk show. So it's like, what was that? So I looked it up. So here that is. And then back to issues of the day. 866-660-5759. That is where you can call us. That is where you can text us on the ViaScan of Las Colinas text line. Much appreciated. So here we go. Over two centuries ago, physiologist Jan Evangelista Purkina noticed that red flowers looked sort of like a bright carmine color during sunny days, but appeared to change to a deep muted hue come nighttime. Okay, let's proceed. This seems a little, doesn't every color look a little different based on what kind of light is hitting it?
I mean, I'm just a radio guy.
All right, continuing. The phenomenon now known as the Purkinje effect, Purkinje, called, I'm sure, by some Purkinje, explains why colors look different depending on how much light is present. In low light, bright colors appear darker. Read about this in my new book, duh. Of course they do. All right, anyway, so what's this? So usually the Purkinje effect unfolds slowly as day gives way to night. The eyes, which use two types of light-sensitive receptors, begin to switch from using cones that give the brain info on what color is seen to relying on the rods, which take over in low light and typically only pick up blue-green wavelengths. Okay, during the eclipse, the moon, of course, incrementally blocks the face of the sun, diminishing the amount of light available to the eye, so that color perception occurs much as it does during the evening. But because that transition from daylight to less intense evening-level light happens pretty quickly, the contrast will be more noticeable. What we're seeing with the Purkinje effect isn't actually happening, it's just the way our eyes and brains are interpreting light. As we get into totality, our eyes don't have time to keep up with those changes, so one of the consequences is things that are red tend to look more muted as opposed to things that are blue and green. Okay, so what are we to do? During the twilight conditions of the eclipse, the cones and rods of the eyes will begin to work simultaneously due to the faster shift from light to dark, rather than the usual handoff of the cones to the rods that can take 30 to 45 minutes. So while the rods will pick up the blues and greens, those hues will be more easily discernible than other colors in low light. So to see the Purkinje effect, you got to take off your eclipse glasses. Don't look at the sun, but do so only when looking at their surroundings, right? And wear red and green, red or green, or maybe both, great. Everybody thinks Christmas in April. When viewing the solar event to enhance the changes seen in the color's saturation. It's April, but if people have like a Christmas shirt with red and green stripes or something, those can be really interesting to look at. All right. The Purkinje effect, just more good, solid eclipse information for you. Oh, my goodness gracious. All right, let me give you one thing. It's just audio from the last 24 hours and people throwing tantrums that I found interesting. You know who Barry Diller is? Barry Diller founded Fox. I mean, not just Fox, and not so much Fox News, more of a Rupert Murdoch thing, but the Fox Network, the whole notion of Fox that wound up giving us Married with Children and, you know, various Fox shows, et cetera, et cetera. So Barry Diller was the TV executive that, and also was behind the founding of the USA Network. So big time TV exec. Also, shocker, big time Trump hater. So he, for some reason, was on CNBC yesterday, sort of the NBC financial channel. And this was just crazy. The CNBC guys are asking Barry Diller about investors in the various Trump media concerns, like Truth Social. Now, look, let's stipulate, I love Trump. Can't wait for him to be president again. Truth Social is lovely, has not exactly been an enormous moneymaker, yet the appetite for people to invest in that stock has been big. Why? Because they love Trump. And Barry Diller just can't handle that.
Truth Social. You've seen the stock on the move in this, I'll call it remarkable, maybe even crazy way.
Just say two words, GameStop.
GameStop. That's what you think is going on here.
It's
ridiculous.
GameStop had a massive turbulent ride on the stock market. Was that a couple of years ago? That didn't seem to be really based on much of anything. Just the oddities of the gaming community and such. So this is Barry Diller, who's on CNBC's Squawk Box. And it's funny because one of the anchors is essentially going to say, well, look, I mean, there are some millions of dollars involved here. You got to kind of, you know, pay some grudging attention to that. Nope.
The company has no revenue.
But do you think it could ever be a bigger business? Do you think if he wins the presidency, it becomes?
Why?
I'm asking.
Why would it be bigger? Look, he's only interesting now because he's out there entertaining the folks. I hope if he does get elected, he just plays golf for 4 years. But
so do you think that all of the investors in this are getting scammed? Do you think they think this is a transference of wealth from one side to the other? And that's the goal. What do you think is happening?
I think they're dopes. I mean, who would buy a company that literally has, I mean, I think, what does it have? $30 of revenue. How could you put a value on it? They're buying it for other reasons, just like they bought theaters when there was no theater business, or they bought GameStop or whatever. It's stupid. It's stupid stuff.
It was 1,000 times revenue, I think.
What?
It was four, wasn't it 4 million? It was
four million. Here's a guy trying to argue back, and Barry Diller ain't having it.
That's $4 million revenue. It's ridiculous. I'm not saying it's not revenue.
$4 million.
Why are you even talking about it?
Wow.
It's a scam, just like everything he's ever been involved in is some sort of con.
Oh my goodness gracious me, Barry Diller. He is now is he doing? Is he like CEO of the Expedia family of travel type companies and stuff? Anyway, so I guess you have a big business head like that on CNBC. I guess that makes sense. But again, what do I keep telling you? What does Trump hatred do? Trump hatred makes smart people stupid. It makes nice people mean. It makes funny people unfunny. It just does it. All right. So how does the week wrap up on the Rashee Rice crash beat? What does accountability mean for this young man? Will he see a day of jail time? Ha ha. You know the answer to that. And what does that say about justice in our country or our area? 920 Mark Davis, 660 AM. The answer to that and more topics next. Dipping into the weekend for musical birthdays, because you could go years skipping a guy if I get buried in a Saturday or Sunday. It is John Oates' birthday on Sunday. He's 76. Bless his heart. I hope he's okay. He got some of that money, right? It's not all Daryl Hall's. This is, it doesn't matter anymore, from that Silver album where they were both made up like chicks. It's very weird. Great album. Sarah Smiles on there. Anyway. Happy birthday, John Oates, 76 on Sunday. That Philly-style blue-eyed soul. I'll tell you what matters. This will tie, I believe, the end of the week bow around this. But everybody's been weighing in on what they think is going to happen to Rashee Rice, and the short answer is nothing. He will have to write some monster checks to some people to make their lawsuits go away. But Matt Howerton had the latest on, and bless his heart, local kid. You know, grew up in Tarrant County, Richland, right? And then SMU, Kansas City Chiefs, Super Bowl ring. That's great. We all want those. We want all those stories to be good. But when you're that young, some stupidity can kick in. And you throw that in with a whole lot of money and maybe hanging with not the best people. That's how you end up wrecking expensive cars and nearly killing people and having a bunch of weed in the car. And that's what leads to decision making, like leaving the scene of the accident. All those things together, he will not serve a millisecond in jail.
Tonight, we know budding Kansas City Chiefs star Rashee Rice was behind the wheel of this SUV Lambo during a 6-vehicle crash on US 75 Saturday, leaving several with minor injuries. That information,
Mr. Rice, acknowledged that he was driving the Lamborghini.
Coming straight from Rice's attorney, State Senator Royce West.
Every question that was asked of him, he responded to the Dallas Police Department.
Royce confirming he had spoken to police about what happened twice, once alone and another time with Rice by his side, and that investigators told him charges are inevitable.
He's a young man that made a mistake.
Right.
Okay, yes. If he runs the wrong route and a Patrick Mahomes ball flies 10 yards behind his head, that's Rashee Rice making a mistake. If you hop into a Lamborghini SUV and I guess throw the keys to your Corvette that you own, you're just renting the Lambo, and the idea arises, hey, let's do some street racing on a busy Dallas highway on a Saturday early evening, and then a wreck happens, and then you walk away and you leave your weed in both vehicles. That is a little beyond the realm of a mistake, isn't it? We're a forgiving society. And again, I would say for the 13th time, I don't need Rashee Rice to be put under the jail for 10 years. But come on, man. Made a mistake. He consciously made several horrible decisions.
Seen leaving the accident with others after it happened. The Lambo was rented. The Corvette seen speeding alongside it, tied to Rice as well. A police report obtained by WFAA says marijuana was found in both cars. In the Lambo, two packages of marijuana were found, the report stated. 10.8 grams. Possession of that much, a felony in Texas.
Not a day. Will not serve. Let me ask you, listen, as we hop into news here, let me ask you, If there was just some terrible accident, probably certainly wouldn't be in the news as much because, you know, there wouldn't be somebody famous. Is anybody else? And it's not even make it me because I'm, you know, I don't have a Super Bowl ring, but I obviously got some notoriety. Let's say just anybody. It was just anybody. Would they go to jail for this?
Time I've heard about that is on television. Okay, on the news.
West says he hasn't been approached by police about that, but he did say Rice has contacted some of the victims and has pledged to make them whole.
I'll bet he has.
Indicated a desire by his client to make the victims whole, and I certainly hope that he truly means it.
Tennessee Walker represents a couple injured during the crash. They were in this SUV. And West reiterating throughout his address not to judge Rice.
If all of us had to be defined by one incident, then that would be ridiculous.
He's right about that. He really is right about that. I don't think this makes Rashee Rice a horrible, dreadful, nasty, useless thug. Not at all. It's just always a good idea rather than, you know, say that that's a bad person, say they did a bad thing. And if you have 43 bad things in a row, the bad person verdict can safely be in. But there's this guy, young man, clearly has a lot to recommend him. We're all complicated in various ways, but I'll go along with Senator West on that.
Sources tell WFAA that investigators spent much of Thursday interviewing witnesses, possible suspects even, i.e. the other guys who left the scene of the crash with Rice. We don't know who they are, and West not explaining why they left the scene in the first place.
Alrighty, so that's just a big old mess. All right, 866-660-5759. Mark Davis into the newsroom. We go 9:31. Here's Nikki Whaley.
Hey, 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 hey. Hey, hey, hey. Let me do that, please. Hey, hey, hey.
Michael Stipe and the boys of REM.
Hey, hey, hey.
And the radio song. I mean, how could I not do this?
Hey, hey.
Say what, say what, say what. KRS-One on their, I don't even know the rapper attached to the,
What are you saying?
Great, I know that, but I can't find my car keys. So Governor Abbott was in New York, which just instantly creates fantastic drama, because the mayor, Eric Adams, was asked about that and made a suggestion about Governor Abbott, and then Governor Abbott replied to it So just follow along with me here. First, you know the history. Governor Abbott has been brilliantly delivering busloads of migrants who have poured across our open borders in Texas. And he has said, you know, rather than just having this be a Texas problem, let's see what these cities who so proudly boast of their sanctuary status. We are a sanctuary city. Come one, come all, and you will find sanctuary here. Like you can do that at your house, in your city, in your state. There have to be rules. You have to have borders. You have to have guidelines. So these people in your New Yorks and your San Franciscos and other places who don't quite grasp that have gotten an Exhibit A lesson in what sanctuary city status really means. It means you get to absorb some illegal immigrants. Hey, how do you like it now? And from Eric Adams to the cities of Chicago and San Francisco and others, they have not liked it at all. It has been a glorious masterclass in how to turn every city into a border city, every state into a border state, and make everybody care about Joe Biden's open borders, and make even liberal mayors like Eric Adams wake up and take notice. Well, he's taken notice, all right, and because it's really all he can do. A lot of these mayors, from the previous Chicago mayor, Lori Lightfoot, to current New York City Mayor Eric Adams, has blamed Abbott. So this is terrible what he's doing. It's absolutely awful what he's doing. It's where they're using people as political pawns. What? Are they any worse off, better off? You know, at Eagle Pass or Midtown Manhattan? I don't know. Get to see some sights in Midtown Manhattan. But nonetheless, this was Mayor Adams yesterday.
You know, I'm going to offer him a stay in one of the HERCs. So he can see
one of the shelters for the visitors.
What he has created and understand.
I use visitors tongue in cheek, as you know.
And how we are.
What he has created. Who created this? Did Greg Abbott go into Mexico and harvest people to stick in buses and send them to New York? I suggest not. They were already here. Why? Because we don't have a border.
Treating people with the dignity and respect that he should have shown as well.
So what's the definition of dignity and respect? Staying in Texas in some facility? How is there a dignity and respect difference between warehousing people in Texas and doing it in Chicago, New York, or San Francisco? How does geography put a different spin on dignity and respect? Help me with that.
And I'm not quite sure why he's here and what he's doing while here, but he's going to see how you can manage the crises with coordination. Not one child or family sleeping on the streets of the city of New York.
Is that really true?
And when we coordinate together, we should not displace problems to local municipalities. That is not what executives do, and it's unfortunate that he made the decision to do that.
Unfortunate according to whom?
All right, here to respond is Texas Governor Greg Abbott, who is back with us. Governor, great to have you back on the program. As bad as this has become in terms of a problem for New York City and other blue cities and states, it's tens of millions, most of which are coming through the state of Texas, or were until you circumvented Joe Biden and you started enforcing the laws that he should have been upholding. I want to get your reaction to the invitation, but I also want to remind our audience that 87% of illegal immigrants in New York City, they're not being sent there by you. They've been sent there by Joe Biden and the White House. So maybe his invitation really should go to Joe Biden.
Real quick explanation on that. If you're saying what? There is every day, an underground railroad of illegal immigrants funded, enacted, empowered by the Biden administration to get as many illegals out of Texas, out of Arizona, out of wherever they have come in, and get them shunted out into the interior of America where they will never be found again. They'll have some little piece of paper on them that makes reference to some court date in some science fiction future year where they will never appear, so that they can ultimately just vanish into the tapestry so that some future Democrat president, Democrat Senate, Democrat House can legalize them and normalize this and naturalize them and then energize them for decades of grateful Democrat voting. Let me hop to the phones here real quick before we get to Governor Abbott's reply. We're in Dallas. And Roy, hi, that's you. Welcome. Happy Friday.
Good morning. Hey. And blessed Friday to you and Rhonda.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're touching on a subject that's right up my alley. If you're going to seize a property like Adams in New York is threatening to do, and it was along with some others in other states, you have to go through a legal process. You have to go through a court, and you got to get an asset forfeiture seizure on that property, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No.
Well, they're not doing that.
No, sir.
But let's say Governor Abbott gets smart and says, okay, they're going to seize those buses that we're sending up to New York. Well, geez, Joe Biden and Mayorkas, they're using buses on the southern border to bus, as well as aircraft. Why don't we pass legislation for asset forfeiture, seizure of their aircraft and their buses in any mode of transportation?
That'll just create goodwill all over the place. You take our modes of transportation, and we'll take yours and see how you like it. The very premise that you've set up is exactly right, that ordinarily there are procedures that have to be gone through, rules to be followed, norms to be observed. Democrats don't tend to do that. They don't tend to do that. They figure out what they want to do. And they figure it's better to ask forgiveness than permission. Roy, thank you. Appreciate it very much. All right, Governor Abbott on the Eric Adams suggestion that, hey, maybe you should spend a night in a New York City shelter.
So, Sean, the invitation is nothing more than a gimmick. And what I would suggest to the mayor of New York is there are people dying on his watch, law enforcement officers who are being gunned down by people who have been arrested 20 times. And he needs to take charge and make sure they keep behind bars dangerous criminals who are killing his fellow New Yorkers. He also needs to educate Americans and New Yorkers why he's spending their taxpayer money to house migrants here illegally because of Joe Biden's open border policies. 4 years ago, New York nor America had to do that because President Trump had in place policies that denied illegal entry. Joe Biden is directly violating the laws of the United States of America, and that's exactly why Texas has a border crisis and why New York has a border crisis. That crisis is not going to end unless and until Joe Biden enforces the laws of the United States.
Real quick, not to interrupt the governor, but he's sort of making two very important parallel points. One is about the border, about immigration, et cetera, et cetera. But the other is about crime. And this is another way in which we win in November. It's funny, everybody talks about voters of color or suburban moms or whoever. Everybody's supposed to hate Trump. I kind of think everybody likes less crime. I kind of think everybody believes there ought to be punishment for crime. I kind of think everybody believes that mayors and governors ought to pay attention to things like this. And there is a reason why a few days ago at the wake, the ceremony for slain New York City police officer Jonathan Diller, there's a reason why Governor Kathy Hochul was flat out asked to leave. It is because her willful blindness to basic public safety is the kind of thing that got Officer Diller killed. This is why Attorney General Letitia James is despised, not just for the attempt to ruin Trump, but for the attempt to ruin her state of New York with soft-on-crime nonsense policies that take us further and further into what I have called, I don't know that I coined this, maybe I did, post-consequences America. In post-consequences America, you get a bag of stuff at CVS and walk out the front door. In post-consequences America, You have people who commit horrible crimes and they're just released back out on the street in post-consequences America. You get people who throw riots and, you know, walk through insufficient fencing and just march right over Texas Guard folks at the border a couple of weeks ago, and nothing happens to them. That is what I mean when I refer to post-consequences America. We need to get back to the concept of consequences.
Texas is actually enforcing those laws. Go ahead, Sean.
Well, that's the point. I was going to make the very point if I would have just let you finish. I apologize. And that is that you are now put in the position of doing his job. That's number one. But not only do you have to do his job, then he takes you to court over and over and over again. You get the wrong judge, and then you have to go back to court again and again and again. And yet, this is the same administration that told America for 3 years that the border is closed and the border is secure. None of which was true. We saw the images daily. We showed them regularly on this program. Maybe the mainstream media ignored it. So what is your message to Biden? I think what I'm hearing you saying, and I would agree with the statement, I think he has blood on his hands. And if those people from China, Russia, Iran, Syria, Egypt, Afghanistan, if terror cells are in this country, and I think Director Ray all but said that, and I had Congressman Mike Waltz on my radio show today, all but saying that, and there's an attack on this country, he will have all that blood on his hands because he's allowed this to happen by aiding and abetting in the law breaking. And why the FBI director has not stopped this is beyond any comprehension I have.
Longest question ever. And pretty much eats up our time. It was great. It was more of a conversation, which was a good one because Sean's points were superb as well. And this is how we win in November, is by just reminding people daily. I think most folks think we need a border. I think most folks want crime, want consequences delivered for crime. I think most folks like a functioning economy. I just do. I think most folks like the weekend, so let's begin. We have a huge musical birthday tomorrow, but I ain't got no show tomorrow, so we'll celebrate it next.
And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free.
Tomorrow is Merle Haggard's birthday. He would have been 87, passed away back in 2016. So, wow, you dig into that Merle library. I went back to 1970 for the title track of Fightin' Side of Me. For producer Ron DeKay Moreland on the Twitter X at producer Ron DeKay, R-O-N-D-A capital K. Thank you, Mr. Matt, for technical guru skills. Thank you, Nikki Whaley, for news excellence. God bless our country, our troops, and our families. Have a fantastic weekend. Go Rangers. Let's beat the Astros. And all other things being equal, can I have a North Carolina State win in the Final Four? And Alabama, too? I mean, why not? Why not? You know, I don't care about Purdue and Connecticut. And I do love me some DJ Burns. Favorite player in a long time. So have a fantastic weekend. See you Monday. We'll see what's going on. Talk about it. Mark Davis right here on 660 AM The Answer.
When you're running down our country horse, you walking on the fighting side of me.